Welcome to the Funcast. I'm Stefan Rudd. The deep state has their agenda, and the white hats have their agenda. And we see that these agendas obviously are the opposite of each other. They use different strategies, different methods to get to achieve the goal. Now, obviously, the white hats are more centered around giving the people hope and giving the people the sense of accomplishment and achievement to create a desire within the people to do better things. Have you noticed that on the right side of the fence, of the aisle, that the majority of the talks and the majority of the words that are being said, spoken when they're behind the mic campaigning, even if they're rhinos and don't mean it, but the majority of the words are, they're centered around us becoming empowered to become better, to have the opportunity to achieve more. America first. You know, and having us being the number one in the world. You know, when we're in sports, this is not even an issue. If you're playing for a team, you don't say on the team, well, we want to have, you know, equality for all, which, you know, under their definition is the proper one, where everyone has the opportunity, versus, you know, the liberals who think that equality means removing something from someone else who earned it to give to someone who didn't earn it by force. We want everyone to win, you know, a ring. Okay, get a championship ring too. We don't say, okay, we won this year. Next year we want to let someone else win. No, you want to go for a repeat, a three-peat. You want to try to get five rings, six rings, seven rings. You want to keep winning. Tom Brady has the most Super Bowl rings in history. You know, Michael Jordan has six rings. Did three in a row twice. So, you know, they're not concerned about that. And there's nobody saying, well, you know, he's not showing equality. You know, it's a matter of you, you know, of you have to win, you have to beat us. And we want to be number one in the world in whatever we do. But for some reason, it becomes taboo to discuss that in politics when it comes to America. So they want us to be on the right. The goal is the people who are white hats on the right, they want us to be successful, prosperous. These are all good terms. Number one in the world. The best in everything, manufacturing, the best in job creation and job availability, the best in unemployment as far as it being lower than everyone else, the best healthcare. Everything should be number one. We should be leading in education, leading in technology. You know, just name it. We should be on the cutting edge of all good things. Number one. But this is a problem for people on the left. Why? Because it gives the people, in their opinion, an unnecessary amount of hope. So what do? They do the opposite. The campaigns on the left are usually centered around fear. Fear and some kind of victimization. Where the people that they're speaking to are always disenfranchised and always cast aside, always being trampled upon by somebody of higher authority and a higher power. The bully is always bullying them, and they can't succeed because they have not yet elected these people to become the bully fighters. And they're going to be in office. And they're going to fight for you. They're going to win for you to make sure that you can be just as successful with your failure self as the person who applied himself and deserved it. not you guys here, but you guys are successful, but the ones who want to make a living or have success without having to work for it. The ones who want to take from someone else to have what they didn't earn. You want $15 an hour. And people who get out of school with, you know, a BA or even a master's in business administration, they barely get out of college after 6 years making $15 an hour in their field. Some of them do. A lot of them don't. You want to, and you're just a high school dropout. I'm not demeaning anyone because there's people on both sides of the aisle like that. It doesn't mean you're not smart. It just means that you weren't interested in school during that time, and you paid for it. No big deal as far as your level of intellect. My point is, still you haven't achieved enough to earn what the guy that put all of his or her all of their effort and time into and became successful at it. Six years. I don't have a degree. I'm gonna drop out of college in 3 years. In three years of college, I was done. So my point was, when I got out of college, and I was I didn't finish. I just left it. I didn't expect to make what someone made having a master's degree on my first job, on my second job, on my third job. I expected to get in the door and work my way up the ladder so that I could become whatever I was going to become. And of course, I did different things in different fields to try different industries and got different experiences than most people do, but that's me. But the point is, it's always the fear factor. Even if the fear is the fear of being a victim of something, the fear of having someone take from me, the fear of not having the opportunity to achieve, the fear of letting a war break out because you voted the wrong way. And then there's a different kind of fear, the fear of what we're going to do to you if you ever make the wrong decision. And we're seeing what they mean by that now. When we see them go after Matt Gaetz, they went after Roger Stone just for supporting Trump. They went after Mike Flynn, Paul Manafort, who was actually working with the Podestas on some deals, which I think is kind of suspect. And they didn't care until he became a Trump supporter, a Trump loyalist. Then we're seeing what they mean when they say, when they said that anyone who supported Trump after they win the White House and the Congress back before January 6th happened, they were going to put them on a list. They were going to put them on a list and make sure they couldn't get a job. They dox you for deciding a case a certain way, or for being in a private meeting, a meeting with your colleagues in Congress and Senate, and they dox you for, what you're doxing is they put your address out there on Facebook and YouTube so that folks can find you. They dox you just for having a different opinion. They show you what fear is about, and they use that against you like mobs. They try to intimidate you, and most people, they decide, not really thinking too hard about it. It's just natural for them. They decide to not rock the. I don't want to rock the boat. They know that some people I know, they've seen the truth on the other side of the aisle. But they don't want that punishment. They don't want to be the black guy who's over there being called the coon. They don't want to be doxed and whatnot. And they see how they move on people like us. They don't want that. So they stay where they are. And that's the whole point of them using fear. It's their biggest tool, their biggest weapon. And it's very effective. Follow me on Facebook still. I'm still there. Facebook.com/StephanRudd. I can't post. I can't comment because I'm in Facebook jail. Oh, I think for 21 or something more days, I haven't even logged in to see in the last 3 days. So I'm guessing, but somewhere in the 20-ish range. And then you'll be able to, I'll be able to post again. But guess what, y'all? Trump is coming out with his social media network on July 4th. So the chances of me returning to Facebook will be slim. I'll return there and be safe just to prepare people to move over to Trump's page, Trump's social media account when it's ready. But I'm also on Telegram, y'all. Telegram is t.me/StephanRudd. The same thing I would post on Facebook, I post it on Telegram, so you don't miss anything at all if you're on Telegram. Or if you're on Facebook and I'm there and I'm not in Facebook jail, you'll see the same things you would see on both channels, both outlets. And then lastly, I'm on Parler as a backup. I don't post there, but I'm going to start soon just to keep things going. But I'm on Parler /StephanRudd. Well, not / but my name is StephanRudd on there. And Gab as a backup at Fon, P-H-O-N, okay? My website is thefoncast.com. So fear is one of their greatest tools, and they will use it. They have no problems at all threatening people and showing the force that's required to illustrate that they have the power and the authority to intimidate you and to do you harm if they want to. There's a headline that came out just the other day, yesterday, in the Daily Wire. I have 3 stories total from the Daily Wire, so not on this topic, all of them. But just to get things going here, they have a lot of stories that came out in the last few days that I really like. But the Daily Wire has a piece on this here, and the headline says, New York's Attorney General announces Trump organization under criminal investigation. So now Trump, the case against him in New York involving taxes and certain things that he was supposedly doing while in office, while running the businesses over the years, they're saying that they're now doing a criminal investigation. Now the problem with this here is, you know, well, I'm before I get there, let me go ahead and read some of this cockamamie story here. And it's not a very long story at all. It says New York Attorney General Letitia James announced late on Tuesday night that her office is no longer pursuing just a civil case against Trump, the Trump organization, and that no matter how involved. Or I'm reading this thing way off here. Excuse me, y'all. You know I'm black. Y'all can't read. And that the matter has now evolved into a criminal investigation. Now, how did it evolve into a criminal investigation? So usually how things work is you investigate civilly. And then you find something criminal. And then you investigate criminally. That's how it usually works. But I'm going to keep reading here. Because right, so far, I don't see anything they said that shows that they found anything criminal. Here's a quote from This is a quote from a CNN reporter. So we know it's BS if we have a CNN reporter quoting this thing. It says, James's office is working with the Manhattan District Attorney C.Y. Vance's office, whose wide sweeping probe into the Trump organization has looked into whether the company misled lenders and insurance companies about the value of properties and whether it paid its appropriate taxes. Did you catch it, y'all? I'm going to read parts again. They're looking into, right, whether the Trump has, see, whether the company has misled, see, look in the, wait, has looked into whether the company misled lenders. You mean you haven't found that out yet? You don't know if they misled lenders yet? You're just fishing? and whether it paid the appropriate taxes. I'm sorry, was there an IRS investigation first? I thought the IRS are the ones who audit things. Isn't that how normally it works? The IRS run, even though it's a private company, sidebar, don't they, aren't they supposed to look at the taxes first, to audit it first with their team, and say, hey, y'all, DOJ, we found something nefarious here. Take a look at this. Isn't that how this works? But no, the FBI is going to look at that now. So they're going to look at this. All right, here's more. See, this is from CNN reporter still. For the past 2 years, James's office looked into matters including whether or not it improperly inflated assets on financial statements to secure loans and obtain economic and tax benefits. So now they're trying to, you know, saying Trump lied about what he had. He used fake collateral. They're alleging that he used fake collateral to get loans from banks, which will be illegal. But I'm thinking he's Donald Trump. Before he became president, he's Donald freaking Trump. I'm saying for a reason. He was on TV. He was on a lot of TV shows. He had the number one TV reality show at his time slot. A couple of years in a row. He was an icon in Hollywood. Do you really believe? And this not just in the last 12 years. He was a hit back in the 80s. When I was a kid. You know, people mention him by name in the rap song, in the rap videos. I mean, rap and the pop, the singers, they always compare themselves to Donald Trump because he was successful. He was a shark. He was smart. He was brilliant. And the rappers like people like that. So they mention his name out of respect, comparing themselves to Donald Trump because they like his style. Do you really believe a guy like that needs to fake assets to get a loan? You know, the purpose of getting a loan, or the purpose of, or you know, rather the purpose of your credit, you know, having good credit and having assets to back stuff up, is to make the banks feel like they can trust you with their money. That's it. We have this in case something goes wrong. But when you are a Donald Trump, you do not need, you don't have to even use assets. Your name will get you the freaking loan. They know that you can build towers. They know that you have, you know, already, your money is already good. Their money is already in good hands because they know you. You're on TV. You have buildings. Your name is on all these buildings. I mean, they, we can go on. You have suits, suit lines. You write books. They know they're going to get their money back. They're not worried about that. So you're telling me that a guy of that caliber, now, it's one thing, it's somebody like me who's not known. You might, you know, want to look at me because I might use something who knows to get a loan. I don't get a loan. I'm just saying. A small-time guy with no name, with that nobody hardly knows. Is probably going to cheat to get a loan. But somebody like Donald Trump, he don't have to do that. So, James, let's see, we have confirmed this is a quote from James's office. So not her per se, but the AG of that part of New York. This is someone in the office. I don't know who it is. It doesn't say who it is. And the quote says, "We have informed the Trump organization that our investigation into the company is no longer purely civil matter. We are now actively investigating the Trump organization in a criminal capacity, along with the Manhattan DA." And then there's no more comment on this here. That's it. That's it. The story is over. That's it. There's more to it, but there. They're now recapping what they've already done. Here's the problem here, y'all. What's really happening here? They found no evidence. Because if they did, it would be in the story. They didn't say, we found evidence that he may have done something illegal. They're putting it out there that, oh, we are investigating him criminally to make people think, oh, he's a criminal. And now the headlines, you know, on TV, in the paper, and on social media, they're going to all read that Trump is a criminal. When the reality is, they found nothing yet. It's the Russian investigation all over again. We will say that we are investigating him criminally so that we can put the word out there in the atmosphere. And then people will repeat it. And then now it'll look like he's a criminal because it's in the news. He's under investigation. He already looks guilty. It's the same Marxist tactics. This is how they run dictatorships, y'all. Where they indict you from the media. They indict you by using the sources of information that are consumed by the people. And you are automatically guilty by mentioning it. And if they had their way, they would do away with all this court stuff and due process and make so that they can make law and order or make orders right there on the spot. We think you're guilty. Boom. That's it. That's what they want. They want to be kings again. They want to bring back the monarchs. But all it is, y'all, is intimidation. All it is a strategy they're using to intimidate. And Trump doesn't care. He's not bothered at all by this. He doesn't care. But it's intimidation. And it's to make people like me or you who say, you know what, I might run one day, to say, I don't want to go through all that. And that's all it is. Look at what would happen to you if you run for office for any position on the wrong side of the aisle. It's outrageous. So the CDC, CNBC, had a story last week, actually. It says, the CDC's credibility is eroding amid conflicting mask guidance, ex-Obama official says. So now we have a story here now where the CDC and the piece says basically that they keep going back and forth on the mask mandates, right? Watch here. And Dr. Patel, who was a former Obama admin or staffer, whatever she was. She worked for Obama last admin. Dr. Kavita Patel is slamming the centers of the CDC for not effectively updating COVID mask guidance. Now watch this here. I think the CDC, this is a quote, I think the CDC's credibility is eroding as quickly as the cases of coronavirus are eroding, said Patel on CNBC. Let me slow down here. The news with Shepard Smith. That's not good news because we do need workspace guidance. We need school guidance. Do you hear this? She's saying that their credibility is eroding away fast because of the conflicting mask mandates. You can wear one. You don't wear one. Then you got to wear two. Okay, well, if you get vaccinated, you don't have to wear one. Okay, now you still got to wear one with the mask. All these conflicting, you know, things that they're saying here. She's saying that, you know, people don't believe anymore. Her concern is that people don't believe them anymore. Right? Now watch this. She says, that's not good news because we do need workplace guidance. Huh? You mean you're more concerned about having structure in place than whether or not they're accurate in what they're saying? Let's go on here. There are men and women working on the lines outside on telephone lines, and they're still wearing masks because in the absence of guidance, we're making it up. You've been making it up since you started this thing. What are you talking about? This whole thing was made up from the beginning. There's a video of Fauci saying that masks didn't work before this whole thing got out of hand. And then I guess a week later, they said, look, you can't say that. We want to have the mask be a part of the operation. Oh, okay. Now they work. So you've made it up from day one. And it's been back and forth. And there's nothing out there that can stop a virus except for plastic. Full plastic with no air pockets. That's how you block a virus. But, you know, never mind, you know, the facts, because the facts don't matter, because the whole point was to keep everyone in fear. The mask is a symbol of fear. And when you see someone have a mask on, if you go to the store and you didn't hear, let's say you didn't hear at all about the virus, you know, TV, you don't watch TV at all, and you don't get on social media, you don't listen to radio. And one day you'd be like, you know what? I'm going to the store quick. I'm going to the store, buy some shoes. And you go to the store and you're like, okay, why is everyone wearing a mask? Can you imagine the fear that comes over you when you realize that? So the visual of me seeing you wearing a mask, not just you, but seeing everyone around you, everyone in the store, everyone in the street, they're in the cars wearing a mask. The visual of that is a reminder that we are supposed to be afraid of something. That's why I know it was there. And the problem with fear is based on emotions. And when you stop being afraid and emotions go away, then you have to find a new trigger. Mutant virus or whatever, you know, it is. Or wear the mask or you can't go back to work. Now they change it to wear the mask when you can't fly. Wear the mask when you can't go to a concert. You know, and they're trying to use different fear triggers to keep you in bondage. It's slavery. Here's a quote. It says there are men and women working on that actually puts more of us at risk. So this is the time to step up. These are hard parts of government and public health communication, but we desperately need someone to do it. So she's complaining because no one is paying them any mind anymore. No one trusts the CDC. Now, do you see why Trump just stepped back and let them do what they wanted to do? Let them. Okay, I follow the mask mandate. Go ahead. Okay, yeah, we'll shut down. Do you see why Trump let them run it? Because if he were at the forefront of this, then the trust would be lost on Trump. But because Trump knew that the enemies are, you know, they will always hang themselves with their own rope. Give them enough rope to hang themselves. He said, I'm going to lean back. Make the vaccine. Go right ahead. I'm going to lean back. Fauci, you're the front man. Bill Gates, you're the front man. Go ahead. Fauci, you're the front man for telling people what to do. Dr. Birx and all of you people. Think about who was on the front line, y'all. Yeah, Fauci. And Fauci he's the main one talking about getting the vaccines. He's the main one talking about what you can and can't do. You know, you can wear a mask here, you can't wear a mask there. You know, I mean, whatever. He's the one doing that stuff, right? And now, what happened to him? He's now being grilled publicly. Because now we already knew this already. But now it's finally hitting the air that he funded the entire thing. He has stock in Moderna and Pfizer. And also, he funded the operation to help them find a virus, and they still failed. So they had to create, they had to engineer. They couldn't create a virus from Corona that could kill everybody. So they just started to fabricate the entire story, hide the deaths behind the other deaths. We're going to offer the hospitals $30,000. For every COVID death declaration, and was it $14,000 for a COVID positive test? That's what they did, y'all. I got friends who are doctors. I know. This is not conspiracy. So it's like when you give them that kind of incentive, what do you think is going to happen, y'all? They're going to make that money. At the end of the day, Everyone in America wants to make money. So now Fauci is in the hot seat, and he's going down. Because Rand Paul, he has this guy dead to rights. He was literally reading the documents that were signed by the doctors in his office. In his department. And guess what? His wife is the head, who is the one who decides whether or not to issue a vaccine for emergency release. They have him dead to rights. He's a dead man walking, y'all. And he just realized that, you know, now he find out why Trump stepped back and let him lead. Look at Bill Gates. Bill Gates is in the same boat. Trump said, I'm going to step back and let you lead. Everyone that was in the forefront of this pandemic is now on the hot seat. Mike Pence, what was he? He was the head of the coronavirus task force. He was ahead of it. And now his reputation is gone, not over COVID stuff, but over, you know, what he did on January 6th. He's done. If he's not already, you know, Gitmo, he there's no way in the world he will find a job in ever again in politics. Ever again. And he will never work again in politics if he does get out of Gitmo. He's done. His career is over. That's how you drain the swamp. Fauci is done after this. Bill Gates is now in trouble. Now he's in the hot seat. He's on the hot seat. He's now in jeopardy. All the people on the front lines, the entire thing, they're going, that the CDC is now not being trusted. And here we have the deep state and the left. They're on CNBC complaining about this. They're not mad about them being wrong. They're not mad about, well, which one is accurate? You said wear the mask, don't wear the mask. Which one? They don't even care about that. They care about the fact that they have said the opposite too many times, and now the people do not listen to their demands anymore. That's their fear. I just read it. They're afraid of the wrong thing. They're not afraid. They're actually outraged by something that a child will be outraged by. It's not logical at all. It's illogical. A child thinks that way. The biggest part of the CDC's failure is not it's not the part where they didn't provide a consistent message so people can trust them and follow it. The biggest problem with CDC is that they lied about masks. They lied about, you know, everything, where the deaths were coming from. They lied. The people have caught on, and they have rebelled. They are now rebelling. This is why they say, well, okay, well, if you got vaccinated, then you don't have to wear the mask. Well, do you believe that people are not going, people who didn't get vaccinated, you think they're going to walk around here with a mask on? When they said that right there, I haven't worn a mask since then. Now, I wore it out of respect just to go shopping or go to church. But since they said that, you know, they said, well, if you got vaccinated, you don't need a mask. I took a mask off, man. My mask is gone. And they can't ask you if you got it, because that's illegal. That's my personal business. I don't have to tell you anything. And you can't ask me. Not even a cop can ask me. So it's starting to fall apart for them now. There's a report also in the Daily Wire. This is related to what I just said here. Report: Jeffrey Epstein advised Bill Gates on ending toxic marriage. Had more meetings together than reported. Gate disputes, of course. So Bill Gates, he's had a longer, a lot more dealings with Epstein than he's led on to believe us. Or maybe he led us on to believe. And now he's in the spotlight for that once again. It says The pair also reportedly had more meetings together than initially reported, meetings that included meetups where Gates allegedly urged Epstein to rehabilitate his own image by working with him and his wife's foundation, right? Okay, it seems pretty noble there. Says Epstein gave Gates advice on ending his marriage with Melinda after the Microsoft co-founder complained about her doing a series of meetings at the money manager's mansion. This is the one in New York. Now here's a quote here. It says Gates used the gatherings at Epstein's $77 million mansion in New York, or at townhouses, but you know, it's still a mansion pretty much, as an escape from what he told Epstein was a toxic marriage, a topic both men found humorous. A person who attended the meetings told Daily Beast. Watch this here. This is a quote from the source, whoever the source is. Doesn't say who it is, but the source. The billionaire met Epstein dozens of times, starting in 2011. Now, what's the problem, y'all? Epstein was in jail, but he was on probation, being convicted of being a child pedophile or pedophilia. He was a child pedophile. And when? 2009, right? So you're saying after that happened, you meet the guy 12 times? At least this is just at the mansion or the townhouse in New York. 12 times, a dozen times, starting in 2011 and continuing through to 2014, mostly at the financier's mansion. A substantially higher number than reported. All right, yeah, so basically they were up there. He was there a lot. It's probably more than 12. He was there a lot. And if he wasn't there, he probably was on the island a lot too. Now, Epstein was having all these girls and underage girls and stuff. He was always surrounded by underage girls and underage boys. So if he's spending that much time with him and they're having problems in marriage, you can suspect that something is going on there. So this is in the news now, all of a sudden, that Gates is now being looked at for, you know, being a part of the Epstein clan, so to speak, you know, his friend being a friend and advisor. And then also, if you consider it, he was actually working with him in business on certain things because he wants him to become rehabilitated. Now, the guy was just convicted of being a pedophile. I want you to hear this. This ain't like, you know, before he went down. This is after he went down the first time. He was a pedophile conviction. He got probation instead of jail time. So at the time, Epstein couldn't leave his mansion for a while. He was on house arrest for a couple of years. So you're saying that Gates was meeting this guy in his house while on house arrest for being a pedophile? Okay. Daily Wire piece. This is dated the day before that one came out. It says Microsoft board wanted Bill Gates out over alleged years-long affair with employee. So the company of Microsoft is now trying to explain. They're now explaining why they wanted Gates to step down. Gates was re-elected as the CEO for the, you know, that year, the year, that same year. The year before that, he was elected as CEO again. And then basically they wanted him to quit because of what they, I'm going to read the story to you, read part of here. It says here in the second paragraph, it says, Gates resigned from the board on March 13, 2020, 3 months after being re-elected, it was that year, to his seat at Microsoft annual shareholder meeting. In late 2019, the board received a letter from a female employee alleging that she and Gates had a sexual relationship that lasted years. So, in other words, a female that works with Gates said, "Yes, this is my, you know, we've been together for a while," right? They wanted him to step down because he had an affair. Now watch this here. It says, the board members, this is like five paragraphs now, board members increasingly wanted Gates off the board, according to report. They did not want the company led by a man with allegations of sexual misconduct against him in the wake of the Me Too movement. I'm sorry. I thought you said that they were having an affair. You just said they have an affair, right? So if they're having an affair, where is the sexual misconduct? I'm not seeing this. Am I the only one here that doesn't understand this here? If you're having an, there's nothing criminal, is immoral. There's nothing criminal about two consenting adults deciding to have sexual relations. It's sinful if you're not married to her or him, but there's nothing criminal about it. There is no sexual misconduct if the woman he's having an affair with agreed to have the affair with him, unless he forced her on him, himself on her, and made her do stuff that she didn't want to do and threatened her and said, I'm going to fire you, I'm going to ruin you if you don't do this. And they said here that, and see, this is a fluff, a good old fluff, even though this is a Daily Wire is a good piece, a good publication, but the quote itself is a fluff. These quotes here are fluffs. This is how they, you know, do you when you're a deep state or a Democrat. You had an affair with a woman that works for you, and so we have to let you go because the Me Too movement is here, and we cannot have you and your side chick involved with this and bring down our company. So we want you to step down, Bill Gates, because we don't want any sexual misconduct. Wait a minute, where is the sexual misconduct? There's two people who consented to have an affair. She knew he was married. He knew he was married. They didn't care. They had an affair. Unless this woman was underaged when they started. Do you see where it's going, y'all? He's now coming out this year. Just this past week, the last couple of weeks, that Bill Gates, you know, the fake one, he's not the real Bill Gates, but I'm just saying that he's stepping down because, getting a divorce because Melinda had a problem with him and his dealings with Epstein. And then now we're finding out that he was at Epstein's mansion at least 12 times discussing how to get rid of his wife. And Epstein is telling him, you're Epstein, an elite child trafficker and pedophilia and pedophile, an elite whose girlfriend is one of the top officials in the criminal enterprise. Who her father was Mossad, Israelite intelligence. And you're talking about this, you went to this guy to get information, and you went to his house, and y'all, when if you don't know what was in his house, and you need to watch it, a documentary on that. There's one on Netflix that's decent enough to watch it. It's watered down still, but you can watch it. And it shows the many disturbing things that he had in his house. He had pedophilia stuff all over the freaking house. Weird stuff like dogs with their arms cut off and legs cut off hanging from chandeliers. I mean, this guy was a kook. A 33rd degree Mason, Luciferian occultist. He was not, and he had all of his house. And Bill Gates, if you went there one time and said, whoa, what, and walked out, if you were able to go back there over and over and over again, then you wasn't bothered by it, were you? It didn't bother you at all. So now I'm wondering, were you over there meeting, procuring girls, young girls? Is this girl now, you know, that's now sending a letter. This is all conjecture. I'm not saying I don't have any intel on this. I'm using my brain here. If this girl that went there and sent a letter to the board, was she one of the girls procured by Ghislaine Maxwell or from Ghislaine Maxwell through Jeffrey Epstein's contacts? Is she one of the girls procured there? And she said, well, I'm going to go to the press and report you. And he said, okay, I'll give you a job. I'll give you money since you won't talk. I'm just using my brain here. And now she's finally to the point where she's tired of being quiet about it. What is that letter about? Why is there now a concern about the Me Too movement? What was the Me Too movement? The Me Too movement was when women were coming up saying, this guy raped me. That's it. And they were worried about that. And this is all, this story came out, on Sunday. So we're now getting to the meat of what's happening here. Everyone is in the forefront on the other side of the aisle, or even on this side of the aisle, but they were deep state, are not the forefront. Their names are being smeared. Who else was in the forefront? We had Gates. We had Gavin Newsom, who was being praised for his shutdowns and how he managed, to get his people in his state in order. And now he's being recalled. Governor Whitmer in Michigan praised for her brilliance and her bravery. And now she's now fighting for her life. Because not life, but fighting for her career and freedom, because they're now calling her a killer. Looking at Cuomo in New York, who wrote a book, and they call him a hero, and now he's being exposed and as a sexual a predator and a mass murderer from the people in nursing homes. They're all going down. Mike Pompeo, I know that's shocking, but Mike Pompeo, and you can, there's a video on YouTube where Pompeo, he was also a part of the coronavirus task force. And Mike Pompeo, he wasn't part of it, but he spoke a few times about it during the briefings. And one of the briefings, Mike Pompeo, in the very beginning, he called the pandemic a live operation. He said, this is a live operation. And the moment he said that, Trump leaned over and said, you should have told me. In other words, Trump said, I know who you are. I got you. Later on, I'm going to deal with you. But right now, you go ahead and play a part. You need to play the part. I'm going to say, y'all, Mike Pompeo was a double agent. Double agent. I know it ain't popular. I know I'm the only podcaster right now saying that. I know that. I don't care. I have my reasons for saying that. They're very strong. And I have some pretty good intel on that. And when you call something a live operation, people in the military, they know what that means. It's a planned event. So Pompeo literally told the people, and back in March of last year when it first started, and by the way, Gates stepped down before this all happened. He steps down, and then here comes the so-called pandemic starts. It's starting weeks later. And then Pompeo does an early press conference and says, this is a live operation, meaning that it's a planned event that was organized by the government and probably the military. Not all of them, but just certain ones. They planned to do this for a while. And he messed up. And Trump caught him. Trump was betrayed by so many people, y'all. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Dr. Birx was a part of this too. And she will come to an end too, because she was a part of all this. She will come to an end, because this will all also affect her as well with Fauci, what he did and stuff. Then we have the governors out there who put people in jail I mean, this is all coming to a head. The audits in the election, y'all, that's the scariest part for them, because now they know that when they are gone off out of office, Trump has the power to do things when he's back there. And of course, if they rebel after he wins and overturns, Wisconsin's auditing, New Hampshire auditing, Michigan, the judge slapped it. He or she just, I think it's she. The judge just slapped down the case to end that, but the Senate can still call for audit if they want to, and hopefully they have a backbone still. And it is a GOP led Senate, so we'll see if they call for an audit. Arizona is already auditing. They'll be done in a few weeks, and then it's over. It's a wrap. We'll see this happening in several states. And Georgia's next. The audits will expose their cheating. It'll overturn the elections. And when Trump is in power again, law and order, swift justice, tribunals. They're already happening now anyway. But I'm saying the public tribunal. Right now, they're going after players who are not well known, so that they don't cause a stir. But a day will come where they have to go after the big guys, the big fish. They will bring them all down. Mike Pence is done too. So he's done. He's done. And we're living in a time now where you don't know who to trust out there. Not even in the podcast. There's a podcast out there now saying, "Oh, Trump is dead already," and we're seeing a clone, and the clone is controlled by Hillary Clinton. And I'm like, "Well, what's the source? A medium? A witch? The people who Trump is after? Trump is going after the occult people. That's your source? A witch?" This is a battle of good versus evil, light versus dark. And I believe that Trump will win this because God is on his side. I believe that. And if I'm wrong, then I'd rather be wrong, you know. I'd rather be wrong believing in something higher and bigger than me. But this is a fight that God wants to win. And I believe that he will. And if he decides to let it go, then it's the beginning of the 7-year period. But be hopeful, y'all. We're on the verge of something great here. And we're almost there. I'll see you tomorrow.